This afternoon, you're listening to the Todd Liborowicz Show, Real Estate Radio and Sound Broadcast Network, AM 1260, The Answer. I'm your host, Todd Liborowicz, and this segment is brought to you by Topaz Mortgage, our preferred partner for all your mortgage needs. Well, in the studio with us now is the one and only Norman Dreyfus. He is the Executive Vice President of IDI Group Company. He is also the Commissioner for Montgomery County Planning Board. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
You have a lot of successful projects under your belt.
I've been around a long time.
Been around. And one of them being Sea Colony.
Right.
Another Cabin John.
Right.
And then Leisure World.
Right.
For Maryland and then Leisure World for Virginia. And a couple shopping centers.
Yes.
And now you're on the planning board.
Right. So it's my justice.
What's it like being on the planning board?
It's a great feeling because I'm always on the, for my whole career, I've been on the other side of the table. I've been in the audience or an applicant, and finally I get to be on the other side of the table and make some judgments for other fellow developers and business people that come before the planning board.
It's like the fox in the hen house.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I want to kind of dig into each one, but how did you actually get started? Into this business.
Well, after while I was in law school, I was going at night. I had to join the service. I was about to be drafted by my draft board in 1970, and I met another guy who was also in the service with me, and he was in the real estate business, and he had as a small builder, but he was doing a joint venture with Carl Freeman Associates called Sea Colony. And he introduced me to Freeman after I passed the handwriting analysis. And then they hired me as a trainee in 1971. And in 4 or 5 years, I was chief operating officer of the company and ended up, you know, running the Sea Colony project among all the other development that Freeman was doing at the time.
Wow. And also, while you were at the Sea Colony, there's another developer in this area that you got to know back then.
Well, I didn't know he was going to be a developer, but it turned out our recreation director for the summers was a fellow by the name of Harry Dubik, who was the in charge of all the beach programs and the tennis programs. And his son, Mark, ended up being a very successful developer here in the Washington region. And at that time, he was just a kid participating in kiddie camp. But that's a connection I didn't know we would have later on in life. But after we saw each other the first time and he was doing his development, I said, I know that name. Are you related to? And sure enough, it was pretty fun.
It's wonderful. He's actually coming on next week to talk about his project in
Rockville,
Maryland.
He's got some great projects.
Yeah. And then you moved on to Cabin John. And that Cabin John Shopping Center wasn't being done in the area. That was a very unique.
Well, Freeman Companies was very farsighted in seeing where development was going to go. They saw Potomac potentially growing and sewer envelope increasing its reach out to there. And he bought a lot of land around the Cabin John Shopping Center on Seven Locks, Tuckerman, and Falls Road. And one of his acquisitions was where he built the Cabin John Shopping Center. When I was with him, the shopping center was about half the size it is today, and we added a new mall with retail on the first floor and offices on the second, a new gas station, and expanded the shopping center. So I guess my first taste of the shopping center business was with Freeman in the mid-70s.
Wow. And then you got another bigger project, which is Leisure World.
Well, yeah, in 1981, I met another developer, a very successful developer from Northern Virginia, Giuseppe Cecchi, and he had just formed a joint venture with the original developers of Leisure World, the Ross Cortese Company in California. And they had finished about not quite a half of the community, and the remaining development was a lot of high-rise and multifamily, which they did not have a lot of experience in. So we formed a joint venture with them and completed the community. So from 1981 through, I guess, 2005, we built over 3,000 condominiums in Leisure World for seniors. So it was a pretty long but successful project.
And it was so successful, you went over to Virginia.
Yeah, what we discovered was that the river is a real dividing point between the markets. Many people want to live in Northern Virginia or they want to live in Maryland, but very few cross the river to go from one to the other. So most of our residents in Maryland, Leisure World, were from Maryland, Montgomery County, and we were not tapping the Virginia market. But the profile of the residents in the Virginia was very similar. They were aging in place. They had homes that were half the bedrooms are empty because their kids had moved on. And so we thought we would be able to develop a market for seniors there. And so we replicated the Leisure World success from Maryland to Virginia with the same partners. So the Leisure World founders, the Cortese Company, we moved over there as well. And so we've had a very successful project. They're built over 1,100 dwelling units in a little less than 10 years.
Oh, wow. Well, that's an amazing story. But by the way, if you're just tuning in, I have with me Norman Dreyfus. He is the Executive Vice President of IDI Group Company and also the Commissioner for Montgomery County Planning Board. I'm your host, Todd DeBorwit, and you're listening to Salem Broadcast Network AIM 1260 The Answer. Now, real quick, you have all these success stories. Is there any success, any real estate deals that went bad?
Well,
just
I had
clean
one,
record.
I had no. There's no such thing as a clean record, I think, in the real estate business. The biggest success people can talk about is that they survived some sort of surprise recession that we used to have every 4 or 5 years, and now we have for extended periods. The last one, there was one in 1981 and one in 92, and then early in 2000, and now this very, very long one from 2008 or 7 till now. But there was a period of time right before the 92 recession that I bought a piece of property I was going to develop as commercial, got the plans approved, built, had a building design, paid for all the drawings, and the commercial market just collapsed. And I had a lot of money invested in the project, so I converted it back to residential. We had to work with the neighborhood, and it took me several years to work my way out of it. But fortunately, in the end, I came out close to even. So that was my biggest sort of almost failure. And then in this recession, this last 2008, the projects that we were developing had all pretty much completed, so we were in pretty good shape, but the new projects couldn't get off the ground. So some of those are just starting up now or had to be abandoned. So that was a tough time, but it was only a small part of my career, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm. Any tips for our current listeners that are developers or looking to get into it? To go through a recession like what you did?
Well, my philosophy in this business has always been to look at the downside. What will happen if things go wrong? The upside always seems to take care of itself. You plan a project, and if it works the way you think, it takes care of itself. But when it doesn't work that way, you have to have an exit strategy or a plan B. So I'm always looking at new projects or projects that we've done and say, if this doesn't work, what do we do? And I think that's, to me, the key to success. You can't continually have successes without hitting some kind of rough spot, whether it's a market-driven or a recession or something else. I kind of equate it to musical chairs. You know, when the music stops, you got to make sure you got a chair. So you always have to watch those chairs to make sure there's one under your rear.
Now, real quick, how do you think of the unthinkable? Stuff that you don't know that you don't know.
Well, my experience has been that every one of the recessions was caused by a different series of events that were not predicted, whether it was the oil crisis in the 70s, whether it was high interest rates in 1981, whether it was a savings and loan crisis in 92. And so even though the government constantly tries to anticipate what things they ought to do to prevent those kind of things, they never do. There's always something new that they didn't think about. So you just don't know when it's going to happen, and so you can't be extended too far. You shouldn't be producing a product that you haven't pre-sold a good amount of. So that is always a belief that as things are going well, it's going to continue that way, and so you extend yourself beyond what your potential either financial capabilities or your staff capabilities are. And then if something changes, you really get caught. So you can take a significant amount of risk in the real estate business, but it should be somewhat measured to recognize that if something stops, you can survive and hopefully come out successful. When I was working for Carl Freeman in 1975, we had this terrible oil crisis combined with a recession, and the market at Ocean City and Bethany Beach just collapsed. And we had a discount our a product to get it sold out so we wouldn't be stuck with a lot of inventory. And right in the middle of the recession, Mr. Freeman came to my office and said, I think we should start another building. And I said, how are we going to do that? There's no market. He says, by the time we finish that building, there will be a market. And so we talked to all our contractors. They had no work, so they were willing to do it at cost. And we promised them if we could be successful in this building, we'd give them the future work. And it worked. I mean, we finished that building. Nobody else was in the market. And we had a tremendously successful startup again after a disastrous period. So he recognized that these recessions are just cyclical and they would come and go. And so he had a plan. His plan was to get out of what he had now, take his lumps, sell at cost or below and get out and then be ready for the next upturn. So that's one way to prepare.
Wow, that's a great answer. And then you also wanted to talk about the shopping center over at Leisure World.
Yeah, in 1980, the developers of Leisure World, the Ross Cortese Company, had a piece of property in front of the community that was recommended for commercial. And they had not yet started that development. But as the community developed and more housing was built, that we created somewhat of a market for that shopping center. And so in 1986, we formed another joint venture with the Cortese companies to build a regional shopping or neighborhood shopping center. And that was very successful. So we found that the combination of a big residential community and shopping nearby was really a big winner.
Wow. And are there medical buildings near there?
The community has their own little medical center inside the community, but a lot of doctors couldn't practice there because there wasn't enough office space. So we had built a medical building as part of that.
And that's part community. Of Leisure World?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a whole entity in itself.
Yeah. With the office building is about 30,000 feet of just mostly medical.
Wow. I could do a whole segment on that. And moving forward, you also got involved with affordable housing.
Yeah. I think part of being a builder in a community is to give back your time and whether it's to your own industry and serve in the Home Builder Association or volunteer your time to various community efforts. I served on a lot of task forces that the county council or the executive appointed me to, or actually the governor, regarding affordable housing and more rental housing and multifamily housing, because there's an opportunity for a lot of people to live there, and the costs are much more controlled than what we experience in the single-family suburban neighborhoods. So in 1991, we were very low on work, and we were able to buy a hotel and convert it to housing, and Oh, wow. It was very successful.
Wow. It just keeps going on and on. Well, thank you so much for being here. We're going to continue with another segment, but we're going to switch hats, and we're going to talk about the Norman Dreyfus, the commissioner of Montgomery County Planning Board. We'll be right back after these messages.